Good evening to one and all, and welcome to our midweek church service on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Welcome to those that have joined us on the phone and have joined us in listening to the recorded service. We have a special guest speaker for this evening, and she's going to be opening our eyes and understanding to some issues that perhaps you have not recognized or noticed before dealing with this issue of Christmas. So that will be coming in just a little bit. But let us go ahead and enter into the service here. Our opening song for tonight's meeting is called Sound the Battle Cry. And the lyrics can be found at lightministries.com/ID1950.htm. Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your cause upon the holy word. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go, while our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light, battling for the right we ne'er can fail. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. O thou God of all, hear us when we call, help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory won, may we rear the crown before thy face. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Amen, dear ones. It's definitely time to join the Lord's army of faithful souls in living the truth and in spreading the message of salvation as far and wide as possible. We are indeed one day closer to getting off of this wicked world. And it's definitely time to arise and shine for our God, because He has allowed His marvelous light of truth to shine in our hearts. And it's time to stand for Him regardless of the cost. I ask you to please kneel and bow your heads before our mighty God for opening prayer. Our precious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being our mighty God, that all things are in your hands and are controlled by your permissive will. And we thank you so very much for being in control and ruling and overruling according to thy providence in any and all situations that affect us and affect thy cause. We thank you for bringing us all together once again to worship thee in fellowship and to learn more things regarding thy truth And I pray, Father, that you will open our eyes and our understanding and help us to comprehend things that we may have never thought of before. I pray that you will be with our dear speaker, Sister Christina. Please grant her thy spirit, and please, Spirit, speak through her the words of life. Help us to be attentive, and we thank you so very much for opening our understanding to this issue regarding Christmas. We thank you so much for being here and that we are a day closer to heaven, and please help us to come up that much higher as each day passes in living the Christian life and representing you to others. Father, we give you full and complete control of tonight's meeting, and we ask for thy presence to be in our midst, in the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit. And we give you full and complete control in all that takes place tonight. And thank you so much for doing so. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So again, welcome, dear ones. And as I mentioned before, we have a special guest speaker, which is Sister Christina. And she has been working on the issue regarding Christmas and what it stands for and where it came from and its origins. And she's been working on it for quite a while. And she has been willing to come and speak before our Wednesday evening group. And for one thing and another, she's been delayed from doing so until just today. She texted me and I said, great, we'll put you right into the program. So without any further delay, I'll go ahead and turn the room over to Sister Christina. And we tried to get her notes into the room here so that you could follow along with what she is going to bring forth. But technology just isn't where it needs to be, at least for me, to be able to get her notes from her phone into the room here. So please give her your undivided attention. And Sister Christina, go ahead and take the mic. And thank you for being here, dear sister.
Good evening, everyone. The study is actually coming from the King James Bible. Jeremiah chapter 10, I'm going to read the chapter first, and then I'll get into what the Lord gave me from the time I left Texas to today. Jeremiah chapter 10, hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speaketh not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doeth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in their kingdoms there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Euphrates. The work of the workmen in the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is in their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide in his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and under these heavens, and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in heaven, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Gather up thy wares out of the land, O inhabitants of the fortress. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them, that they may find it so. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous, but I said, truly, this is a grief, I must bear it. The tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore, and to set up my curtains. For the pastors are become brutish, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate in the dens of dragons. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man to walk to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name, for they have eaten up Jacob and devoured him and consumed him and have made his habitation desolate. Okay. From Isaiah chapter 40, verse 19. That also expands off of Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, where the workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over the gold, and casteth silver chains. Basically, what I received when I was in Dallas before I moved here, while my parents were decorating their tree, I looked at it after reading Jeremiah chapter 10. And when I went back to my room, I drew a picture of a Christmas tree. But with that Christmas tree, instead of the lights being wrapped around the tree, I drew a serpent wrapped around the tree. Because the serpent also was made of many colors, just like the lights that they have wrapped around the tree. The ornaments all have their own meaning behind it. Last night I had a dream of me being in college, and my instructor was asking questions about Christmas. Me and a young man was answering those questions, and from what the young man was saying, he was saying that the Christmas holiday went all the way back, but in my dream it was saying that it was the Romans. But when I found out, I called Sister Rosie, and she was telling me it was the Vikings. They would go in, and they were killing people, and they would use the heads of those people to decorate their trees. And that's what was said in my dream. So the young man in my dream was going back on the history of it, and then I used the biblical sense of it. So all those decorating, all the stuff that they decorate, those balls and stuff represent something, as well as that angel or the star that they might put up on top of the tree. Now, the devil also said, in Isaiah 14:14, that he would like to be as the Most High. So that's where the star comes in at. He was a fallen angel, so the only glory he's going to get is the glory that we give him. He was the light bearer. In this sense here, the only light that he's going to get is from the socket. When they plug the light in, that's the only light he's going to obtain. So So that's why I use the serpent to go around the tree, because not only does the tree is an evergreen tree, but also what I was told with Sister Rosie, that the spirit of prophecy the green tree represents a Christian man. So when that tree has been cut off from its natural source of life, which is God, he brings the rain to bring the tree to nurture it, and the sun for it to grow and to be strengthened. If it was not for the Lord, that tree would not be able to stand strong, stand firm, and stand straight and stand still. Once that tree has been cut off, all of that, the tree is dead. So basically, being that the tree is representing man, this is a man who is a Christian man, to be exact. Once he decides that he wants to cut himself off from the Lord, all his natural source of life has been cut off. He is now just a walking person, and the only way that he is making himself look good is by the jewelry he might put on, or the expensive array that he might put on. So that is bringing false doctrine and false representation in whom he is trying to represent. Also, I had pictures that my daughter drew, and she did a very good job. I was trying to send them, but I don't know what happened. It didn't go through. To define the word vain from my phone, because I don't have a computer anymore, my phone defined it as having or showing an excessively high opinion of one's appearance, abilities, or worth, conceit, or ego, or self-obsessed. So in my studying, I was that would actually go according to what the person cutting himself off from the Lord, how he's dressing himself, how he walks with his head up. He may feel that he's representing God, but at the same time, he has cut his supplier off, who supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory and not our own. But when I continued with the definition, vain also means producing no results, useless, hopeless, pointless, futile. So my question that I placed on Facebook last week was, for those who claim to be a child of God and knowing the truth and knowing the history of Christmas, I asked them this one question. I said, how is it that you know the history behind Christmas? You know that this has nothing to do with Christ, but yet you're saying that it's just an acknowledgement of Christ being born. If you know this, then why would you continue to walk in that manner, knowing that this has nothing to do with Christ at all? I still have not gotten an answer yet. So as I continue to do the research on it, it's saying in Psalms 115, verse 8, it says, they that make themselves are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. So as I was doing it, I noticed that those people who see no fault or see the wrong, or might just be, and I quote, justifying the manner of celebrating Christmas, these people are basically like the tree that they are decking. Everything that they put on that tree is representing some part of themselves. How they dress themselves might be some of the things that they put on that tree. They're looking at themselves. They don't see any fault in that. So that is the reason why they continue to do it, because that is their opinion and the Christ is being born. So I don't know. That's my mom gave me that. She knows the answer to all of that, but her justification was basically more so of, it's just an acknowledgement that Christ was being born. So my next question was, who said that Christ was born on December 21st? Matter of fact, who said that he was born in December, period? When I was reading the Bible to my girls last Sabbath, I came across in Jeremiah 36, verse 22, that the month of December was the ninth month. The king was sitting in his winter house when the word of God was being brought to him. Therefore, it was cold outside. Jesus being born at that time, he would have been extremely cold, being a newborn child. Not to mention the fact that he said he is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, and that is in Revelation chapter 1, I believe that's verse 8. I was reading that. What came to my attention was that if April is the biblical, if April was the first month of the year, it is also the beginning of everything and also the end of everything. So, and it was also the warmer part of the season of the year. I don't know when Christ was born. That was just what I was just reading. So I was trying to put everything together. So I'm just going by based off of what I've been reading. The other one was Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 18. It says that the holiday, well, Christmas is just another, it's a teacher of lies. And if you were to go into it, there's a whole verse with it, but I just got that one part of it because it did say that it is vain. And if it's vain, then what is the purpose of anybody wanting to celebrate it? Because it doesn't mean anything. It's also a teacher of lies. And it also was saying that, from Isaiah 41, verse 6, it says, they help everyone, his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. Well, everyone is saying, Happy New Year's, Merry Christmas, have a good day, may your jingle, but all of that good stuff. But at the same time, the Lord was saying it's also works of selfishness. So basically, with them giving gifts to one another, not actually looking at what the Lord has already given us as a gift, and if this was actually for something that is pertaining to Christ, then why is it that nobody is actually giving back the gift that God is requiring for us to give back to Him? The Lord gave us gifts Himself. Not only did He die for us, but He also gave us gifts of evangelism, teaching, preaching. All of these things, all of our talents and everything that He has made us able to do, these are our gifts that we're supposed to share throughout one another to give God the glory and not ourselves or each other. So my question to everybody else was, if this is something that has pertained to Christ, then why is it that the gift that Christ has given us, we are not giving back to Him? He only asks of us of one thing, and that is for us to give our hearts back to Him. And the gift giving that Christ gave us was found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 actually tells us why He gave us the gifts that He has given us. So when we don't use those gifts that the Lord has given us to give back for His purpose, it is in vain. Just like the gifts that they're giving to one another, it is in vain. I think that's about it. Yeah, that's about it. And honestly, I would just take that for all of the holidays because they are the custom and tradition of man and stuff and things that we've been taught from our youth up from either school or from other religions that we may or may not have grown up in or from where we grew up at, our community. So it is best for us to just go back to the Lord and research on all of these things so that we will not be found wanting. So that is why the Lord asked us for ourselves to study to show thyself approved so that we will not be ignorant and continue to walk in the ways of man. So we'll be found pleasing in His sight and not to man's sight. And this time of year is really not too easy for me, being that I feel as if I am by myself. So I try to quench myself in what the meaning is with these holidays. So far, I've gotten Easter and Christmas, not so much Thanksgiving yet, but I think that's about it.
Well, thank you, sister, and I appreciated the study. And you brought out one point that I had never thought of before, and we had discussion on this earlier, but the Christmas tree lights that go around the tree, I had never connected that with the serpent going around the tree. And that was quite amazing to find out. And thank you for sharing that. I know one thing that helps me understand whether a particular practice is from God or not from God is I look at the origins. And if the origin of the thing can be found in the scriptures, well, then you know pretty much that it's from God and it's safe to go ahead and follow that particular practice. But if you find that the origins do not come from a biblical standpoint, but come more from a spiritualistic or a paganistic standpoint, then it really doesn't matter whether someone has put Christian meaning to the paganistic practices. It's still paganistic in origin. And to put a Christian meaning to it is just mixing paganism and Christianity or darkness and light together, and you're going to get a mixture. It's going to be a neutral color or gray. And we're told in Revelation 3 that those things that are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, neither dark or light, but a mixture of the two, a combination, Christ doesn't accept in worship to him because it nauseates him. It nauseates him so bad that he's on the brink of vomiting it out. That's how bad it nauseates him. So he doesn't want his followers to connect themselves with paganistic practices, but he wants them to connect themselves with him, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So thank you, dear sister, for sharing what you had found out on this particular subject of Christmas. And there's a lot more that can be shared, but what you brought out was very interesting, and thank you for doing so. But are there any thoughts or questions that you'd like to ask Sister Christina or bring up here to the room? Please feel free, dear ones.
This is Brother Sean. There's something I'd like to share here real quickly. I'm not going to play it, but you can go on YouTube.com, and you can put in there Happy Holidays, and it will say the deep evil roots of Christmas. It's 6 minutes and 55 seconds long. It really explains a lot about what Sister Christina was going over. So I do encourage you to go and look that on YouTube, because that's one reason why I don't keep Christmas.
Good evening. A long time ago, maybe 4 years ago? I'm not sure. This is after I had already knew was exposed to what Christmas really was about. So I had already had given it up. So I was talking to a sister of mine, a sister in Christ of mine, and she was telling me about, there's a video that the History Channel has about it's called Christmas Unwrapped, and it's a whole documentary about where Christmas came from and everything, and how it started, what the mistletoe means, and what they were doing to other people, and right, yes, it does all go back to Babylon, as far as, if I'm not mistaken, as far as St. Nimrod, but I'm not sure. But when I was watching the video, I was shocked, but I wasn't shocked. if that makes any sense. I just was amazed that the History Channel had this. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, they went through all these different reasons why Christmas is bad, and then at the end of the video, like, they were like, but Christmas, they were like trying to say, well, Christmas is still okay, you know, trying to make it seem good after they just did like an hour or so on why Christmas is bad, you know, but forgetting the end of the video, but it brought out some really good points in that video. It's called Christmas Unwrapped, and I was very surprised that I could find it at the library. I went to the library, and I think they had to send it from another library, but still, you know, because back in Ohio, if the library didn't have a certain item, they would call another library within Lorain County, or I'm not really sure. But, yeah, they would send it in. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it was very, very interesting. And after I get done talking, there's a list of all the holidays that I'm not quite sure. I think Sister Rose sent me it, but I'm not quite sure of all of the holidays and what they mean. Very shortly for all of them, but yeah, of all the holidays and what they mean. And I'm going to try to find it if someone cannot find it first. So, yeah.
In my experience concerning the different holidays, as I continue to study for myself, I started to realize that it wasn't so much holidays, but they were very holy days for a lot of culture. And the deeper you go into study, you realize how dark they were becoming. But the main interest of why it was so important to be able to share the knowledge of what these holidays are all about is because they were replacing all the things that people were supposed to really concentrate on. Like, whenever they have Christmas, they put supposed to be Santa Claus. They have him like an omnipresent, omnipotent, basically like a god. That children were supposed to be tricked, that in case if they wanted to be good in life, they have to be told that, you know, you have to be good, because if not, Santa Claus will not come and bring you any toys. They made him that he can go to so many places at the same time. And the more they started to emphasize Santa Claus, they were supposed to be forgetting, especially when they tell you that the reason why they was actually celebrating is because of Jesus' birth. But if you notice that when you used to go to these holidays dinners, you were not allowed to talk about Jesus. You're either talking about the food, or you're talking about the toys, or you're talking about people, but then the person that they were actually celebrating the holidays for was something that was forbidden to be spoken about. And also, when you start looking deeper into a lot of the representation, it was really a homage for the Mass. It was, you know, when they say Merry Christmas, it is really a dedication to Mary. Jesus was not so much of something that they were actually celebrating. It was more going towards the Virgin Mary. And when I started looking at the whole purpose of the evergreen tree, if you notice in the Bible, all the different trees that I mentioned, palm tree, myrrh tree, all of these different trees that the Lord mentioned, has some kind of spiritual meaning concerning something that is biblical. Christ is known as the tree of life. Yet, for them to be able to take something that is so spiritual, a big lesson to be able to learn. If you take the tree, which is the evergreen, especially if you have children, take them to where they have it and give them the principle. And the principle is that no matter what kind of weather is around, that tree stay evergreen because he relies on what is in his root, the foundation of it all. All the wins and strives of everything that happened knows that the evergreen stayed green because its life source is in its root. So it's like, as the Christian, they stand in the present truth and the pillar of the Word of God. No matter what's going on in their surrounding, their foundation is where they are planted in the living truth. For them to be able to just uproot the tree and then feed it an amount of water to keep it, I mean, what you're really looking at is a tree that is dying. And the beauty of it was removed, so now instead of just having a dead tree, they're going to deck it with all kinds of beautiful things to make. You remove the beauty and the life of the tree to be able to exalt something that the process of dying just become gradually. Because if you don't keep putting water in the very bottom of the tree, you're going to really see something that not even in nature was allowing the tree to be able to start drying up and start dying. Here it is that you have to constantly be doing what nature naturally does with the evergreen tree. Anytime when Satan wants to remove something so powerful for us to understand, something that it would be a blessing for us to be able to stand, he always kind of he always puts something upon it, or either remove it, complete knowledge of the believers, or try to do something that people don't get to really see what's really going on. Christmas for me, before I knew the truth, was something that I always had a conflict. Because when I was little, they always say that Santa Claus supposed to come to all the good kids. But then when I was back home, I started to notice that he was only going to the most rotten kids in the neighborhood. They were the ones that was having all the toys. And all the poor that was good children, they wasn't really getting anything. And the more I started to see these things, the more I say, how could Santa Claus go to the neighbor that is torturing the neighborhood? He gets the toy, and then you have good kids, and then it wasn't getting anything. I had a question with that. I started to notice that when the holiday comes around, everybody is really nice. What happened right after when it finished? They feed the people for the holiday. What happened to the rest of the year? The more you start looking to see what the holiday is all about and the true meaning, you realize that what it does, all of these supposed to be holidays are really holidays of ancient pagan goddesses and also demon gods. That when Christianity came about, they tried their best to be able to immerse the two together so like that they don't lose their tradition. You know, they hide the liquors in the food cake. They hide the liquors in the punch. They started to put all kinds of what they used to do normally in these holidays and place it in the cake, in the punch, in the. So in reality, it's two things that emerge together. And we know that whenever you have truth and error, like our dear elder was just talking about, it is basically Babylon. That's the whole purpose that the Lord said, come out of her, my people. Because what they have made to be something as that's supposed to be devilish, they started to make it to be something of light. And the only thing good that I take advantage of this holiday, it gives you an opportunity to be able to talk about really what happened when Jesus was born. When people say the 25th of December. The 25th of December, there is a celebration of the Yule log child. And it's about a Yule log, which is in the time of ancient trees was also used as way to be able to give homage to. When they used to do their sacrifices and everything, if you look deep inside of the study, it tells you that when the Vikings used to go trading in the boat, they had two heads. One head that had the head of a dragon and the other one had the head of a serpent. Whenever they come to all the different islands and the different places that they was going to invade, when they look at the head of the boat, if it was the serpent, they knew they was coming to trade. And if it was coming for war, they will put the dragon head. So everybody used to really run in. I'm trying to be able to find these documents that I had for such a long time. But you will get to see that as soon as when they kill, they rob, they actually rape the people and then came back with the spoil. And in the time of the Vikings, they used to worship nature. So one of the main gods that they used to have, they also used to worship the sun, moon, and the star as well. If you notice that is one of the oldest religion, no matter what culture you have, the sun, moon, and the stars was something that they used to worship. For them to identify what god they was giving the sacrifices to, the whole purpose of the star that goes on top of the tree, it would tell you it was the star child that they was actually worshiping. I just wanted to just share a little bit of my experience concerning Christmas. And I also have a documentation that gives you a little bit of the story about where these things came from. I hope I find it, but I just wanted to share that.
And during the study of the different holidays, you know, I learned that a lot of the pagans have a lot of pagan rituals, which are considered their quote-unquote holy days, you know. And during the course of a year, there are three in particular days. One of the main days for their pagan, quote-unquote, holy days would be the first day of the week, Sunday, which is, if you break down the name, because it's, you know, it's a syllable, Sunday, meaning day of the sun, is day dedicated to the sun god. That's one. Two would be their Easter day, which is actually day dedicated to their moon goddess, Astaroth, or Ishtar, or as the Babylonians, Assyrians would call her Semiramis, also known by the Greek as Aphrodite, or Diana, to the Romans. Good evening, Mimi. Aster, amen, Brother Bob, or as the Hebrew word in the Bible pronounced it, Aster Rath, with the TH towards the end, would be day dedicated to the moon goddess. Then, last but not least, the day dedicated to the god Tammuz, which is the star god, which is on the 25th of December, is actually the birthday of Tammuz. In Babylon, there in Genesis mentioned a man named Nimrod. And the story with Nimrod, his wife named Semiramis. And her son named Tammuz. And Tammuz is the god of who they worship for on Sunday. During Christmas. And what a lot of people don't realize, Christmas is not just one particular day, but it's a multitude of days. And what you want to know is in their Christmas carols, you know, like the actual day, Christmas was not originally the original name for that particular holiday. It was called Saturnia. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it accurately. but the prefix of the word has the name Saturn located in it. Saturnia. So what happened is that these days, were a series of days where there was a lot of revelry. There was a day where they sacrificed children. They sacrificed children and did a whole lot of sacrifice to the god of harvest. So during this time, you know, they did all kinds of revelry, and where there will be roles that switch places. Those who were slaves became masters to their masters, and the masters were the slaves to their own slaves. And all these things were happening, and they were having huge, do forgive me for the word of their children, they would have huge orgies and things during their ritual. This was part of their rituals during the time of during the time of Christmas. So what happened is that there was a lot of things that were going on, and when the church tried to incorporate Christianity to mass this particular day, you'll be able to realize how extremely blasphemous this would be, because all the reveling and things that they were doing on this day has nothing to do with Christ, and none of his people should have any part of it. It's so wicked. You know, there were killings, there were, you know, a whole lot of, in other words, just think of it, when the children of Israel rose up to play, when Moses went up into the mountain to get the commandments, they rose up to play, they were worshiping pagan idols and stuff, the rituals that has to do with all of those things. Has to do with a lot of male and female intercourse, because that is what is a huge part of their rituals, in all of the rituals that I mentioned. Christmas is one of, you know, when it says the entire world will worship the beast, the entire world keeps Christmas. Mm-hmm. The entire world keeps these days as holy. And to a lot of people, what I'm saying would be extremely offensive. But to be honest with you, even those, you know, who teach in the church know this to be true. Because my professor, so Roman Catholic priest at the college, and he even, you know, was telling the entire class that Christmas was not even mentioned in the Bible, that it has nothing to do with Christ. He actually told the entire class it has to do with sun worship, and it does. Tammuz is the quote-unquote lowercase god that they depict as the star god. And if you go into Ezekiel, I'm not quite sure, I don't remember the actual verse. It says that the women were weeping for Tammuz. They were weeping at his grave. And thank you, Brother Bob. Ezekiel 8. All of these things has to do, incorporated with this particular holiday. Now, I mentioned there are a series of days. How would you know? Which carol do they sing? You know, like when you always go on the first day of, you know, so-and-so, you know, on the second day, on the third day, and they go all the way up to 12. There's a series of days that happens during Saturnia. After the Saturnia times have passed, then there's a series of three more days, which corresponds around the 25th. So it'll be the 24th, the 25th, and the 26th, where the 3 days
that were dedicated to the sun god after the series of the 12. Now, along this time, you have the Jews that keep Hanukkah, and then those that, there's another one where they have, what is it called? Where there's another one, there's another holiday where they have, yes, Kwanzaa, thank you. There's the keeping of Kwanzaa. All of this, the entire world is keeping this particular day. But keep in remembrance, not the entire world are not Christians. Not everybody are Christians. But the entire world, no matter what religion, no matter what culture, no matter what country, keep Christmas as a holiday. Ironically, I just saw that even in China, Christmas is even incorporated in their, and China is atheist. So when the Bible says the whole world will wander after the beast, it means everything that is saying word for word. And that's just what I wanted to say.
I have a question. Is there a reason why some people put the X in front of, like, Xmas and then instead of Christmas? And I'm thinking, and I might be wrong, but I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure. But is there a reason why some people, or maybe Christians who didn't want the name Christ in front of there, is there a reason why they put that, some people put the X instead of Christ?
I know, good evening, everyone. The reason why, I think I read it a long time, that the mass of Christ, it used to be, instead of putting the X, it used to be for the mass of Christ. And I know the mass is dealing with the, taking the wafer. And I know in the 1600s, a lot of people, during the Reformation, they have, gone to the state by taking that, I don't know if it's a communion or something, they take, it's dealing with the mass of Christ. And then what happened, the Catholic,
the Mass of Christ,
yeah.
When there is a Mass,
yeah.
A Mass is what occurs, in other words, it means to dismiss. So there is a dismissal of something. So when they say, Merry Christmas,
mm-hmm.
It means, in other words, happy dismissal of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When they have the communion and there's an X on that, I think this is what my mother is trying to say. When they have the communion and they put it, they have the X on the wafer, the wafer, the Catholic priest, they tell you that, as a cover-up, that it represents the body of Christ.
Right.
Battle, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It represents the body of Tammuz.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the T is on it. So the thing is that the T is for Tammuz. And when the priest or the pope, they're in their mass, and they do it every Sunday mass, and they lift it up towards the heaven. They're actually doing the paganistic ritual where they're praying for the sun god to come down into this wafer so that they can eat and partake of the wafer, which is of the body of Tammuz. Now, I know a lot of people are thinking, oh my goodness, it reminds us of the communion with Christ. But you see, everything God has, the devil has a counterfeit.
Mm-hmm.
So when they, a lot of people, they mask the rituals of the holiday of Christmas, they mask it with the story of Christ. Because notice that many people, when you have everything God has, so that has a counterfeit. If, notice I'm using if Christmas was the time that Christ was born, what does Santa Claus have to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
Santa Claus has nothing to do with it. He is the complete opposite of what is holy. We are not to praise man. We are not to uplift man. We are not to give any glory to man or any image of man. All the praise is supposed to go to God. They're not supposed to compete or share the glory, you know, for the people. It's all supposed to go to God. Man is a sinner. And just like all of us are, we are all sinners. And we're all in the same boat, striving for perfection. You know, who is he, this image of man, to compete with God? He's nothing. And the thing is that Christ was not born in December. Because if you go in the Bible and you remember during the time of his birth, they had the taxes of Rome was happening. You know, every time the Roman does the taxes occur on the 15th of April. So that's, if you go and follow history and follow the Roman law and go with the Bible and see how the Bible says, because of the taxes, all the Jews are supposed to go according to their lineage. And Mary and Joseph were both of the tribe of Judah. So therefore, they had to go to their land of Judah so they can be counted. And they went to Bethlehem as it was foretold. And in Bethlehem is where they did the registry. Now, this is all of these things were happening at the beginning of the year, not during the time of Christmas. Christmas was something that was kept among the Romans, among the Greeks, among the Gentiles, among the Babylonians, among all of those who did partake of sun worship. It was part of their ritual. It's extremely deep. It's extremely deep. Because in the ritual, the star represents the child. And the moon represents the moon goddess, as I spoke of. And the star represents Nimrod. And any time when you see these three together, wherever, it represents 666. Because this is the actual Trinity. The word Trinity is not found nor located anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the King James Bible. And someone comes to you and tries to teach you about the Trinity. They're incorporating sun worship because the actual Trinity is the sun god, the moon goddess, and the star god. And that's why I had to mention these 3 days. Sunday, day of the sun. Easter, day dedicated to the moon god Asteris. She was called the goddess of fertility. Also, yeah, because she was the goddess of fertility, that's the reason for the bunny and the Easter eggs, because they had a whole lot of intercourse, you know, that happened during that time. Because, as I mentioned before, that's a huge part of their rituals. So this is what was happening. And then the star god, Tammuz. So you have the three. When you see the moon and the star, it represents the moon goddess and the what would have been, you know, the sun god, the baby sun god, which is the star. You know, the moon goddess and the star. These two come together. These are symbolic for meaning something. And this is the reason why when you see a lot of flags, especially dealing with Muslim countries that has Muslim flags, of what and doing research, their God Allah, which is also known as the God Sin, is actually the moon goddess, and they are worshippers of the moon. If you see, even their swords are even the shape of the crescent moon, and on their flags they have the moon and the little star cradle within it, or they have like just the moon by itself. It's very deep. I can't even, if I even try to break it down a little bit more, we'll probably be here forever. You know, and I don't know if we don't have that much time. But it's a whole lot of things. Oh, Lord. It's just, you know, we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Do the research. Search it out. Type in the origin of Christmas. You'll find Saturnia and the idols that comes with it. You know, there's the fawn, or, you know, the half man, half goat god, the satyr. And then there's the one, the half man, half horse. It's disgusting. It's a lot of rituals. It's a lot of paganism. And it's blasphemous when people try to use what is holy, what is of Christ, and try to mix it in with paganism. If you know, the last thing I'm going to say is that, look at my Karina. The last thing that I'm going to say is that in the beginning, when Christ was given the gospel and he was here, and after he died, his disciples were given the gospel, and people were becoming converted by the thousands. And no matter how many times the devil tried to kill them and martyr them, to get them to be quiet, to get them to hush, to get them to stop talking and, you know, telling all these people about Christ because he hates him, for every person that fell, another person became a believer. Just like when Stephen fell, Paul became a believer. For every person that fell, another person became a believer. And the devil could not make them stop, and he couldn't slow down the spread of the gospel. So the only thing that he could think to do is to marry the two. So if he married paganism or Christianity, then he can try to re-indoctrinate the people to make them think, oh, this is good, or, you know, I'll just keep this part of Christmas, but I won't keep that part. Or I'll just do this part of Easter, but I won't keep that part. Or I'll just worship Christ on Sunday, you know, but I don't have to, you know, call it this and that or different that. And that's where you get truth and error. And this is not good, because just a little bit of error makes the whole thing false. So you cannot have, you know, one little error, you know, one little truth and keep on to that when the whole thing is paganism. It's just not supposed to happen. Everything has a meaning. Everything you use in Christmas, from the Christmas wreath, the Christmas tree, the even the mistletoe, it's really filthy, disgusting meaning. And you should go and do research and, you know, to study for yourself. Okay, I'll stop talking. See you tonight.
Well, thank you, sister. And it's true, when you understand that the pagans didn't want to retain the knowledge of the true God with them, and so they became debased and began worshiping nature as their God. Anyway, we don't need to go into that, but there was a mention of what pagan holidays are being celebrated today, and Valentine's Day is one, Easter is another that we mentioned. Halloween is another pagan holiday. And then Christmas, which is what we've been talking about here. So those four major paganistic holidays are celebrated in America and England and elsewhere. And a lot of people don't recognize where those came from. They just sort of accept it as being a day to get off of school, or a day to, you know, live it up with your friends and family members. But once you start going back to the origins, where did these days come from? And if you're a Christian or a follower of Christ and you recognize that the devil is Christ's enemy and the devil has people following him, which were known as pagans or Gentiles, then you recognize that if you as a Christian connect yourselves with the practices of Christ's enemy, then how can you really be a follower of Christ anymore? So it comes right down to, are you a true follower of Christ? If so, then you would get rid of everything in your beliefs and everything in your practices that connect you with Christ's enemy. So whether these are paganistic practices or whether these are errors in doctrine that are not founded in God's word but in the traditions and sayings of men, or sin in your life. Because the author of sin is not God, it's Lucifer or Satan. So fleeing from Babylon means more than just dropping your association, fellowship, and membership out of churches of Babylon, but it also means getting rid or purifying your life, purifying your beliefs, and purifying your practices, casting away everything connected with the devil in order to be completely connected with Christ. So instead of looking at this from a legalistic way, look at it from the aspect of, who are you choosing to serve? Are you choosing to serve Christ with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength? Then serve him and willingly get rid of everything that's not connected with him. Or is your decision to serve Lucifer? If so, then get rid of everything that has to do with Christ so that you can be a servant of Lucifer. Because there's no middle ground in this great controversy. It's either serve God or serve Baal, but it's not serve both. So it's a decision that each and every one of us are forced to make in one degree or another every day of our lives. Because sin is connected with Lucifer. So we must give it up if we want to be a follower of the spotless Lamb of God. And Christ is willing to give us all the grace and the strength, divine grace and divine strength, to overcome all sin in our lives. It's possible. So we've been talking about the sanctuary in our Sabbath meetings. And in making ourselves a sanctuary that's suitable for God to dwell in us, we must be cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Part of cleansing ourselves deals with our practices, our beliefs, our actions. And so you can see that it is an ongoing day-by-day process of purifying ourselves by allowing Christ to live and work through us and getting rid of everything that's not connected with Him. And once we do that, then we're making ourselves a fit and holy temple for the Godhead to dwell in us and rule in us. And dear ones, for a Christian, that is the ultimate worship of God. The ultimate love being shown Him. And He's done so much for us. May we truly give Him our whole heart. Are there any other thoughts or comments on this topic, dear ones? Or are there any songs that you'd like to sing, or perhaps any prayers that you would like to offer? And please feel free to do so. Well, dear ones, I want to thank you for coming this evening, and a special thanks to Sister Christina for presenting this topic to us, and thank you so much for doing so. And it just so happened it was on the very day of Christmas that we were talking about this subject of the origins of Christmas. So thank you so much, Sister. And you mentioned that you were studying out the other pagan holidays in the year. And when you have your studies done on those holidays, then please feel free to come back and share your findings with us. So, dear ones, I ask you to please bow your heads and kneel for closing prayer to tonight's service. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for not leaving us in darkness, but opening our eyes and understanding to be able to see a little bit more what's taking place behind the scenes and how Lucifer's practices have been intertwined within the various societies and countries of the world. And many people are ignorantly worshiping him by partaking of these practices. And dear Father, I pray that you will help us to stand for thee regardless of the cost. Help us to continue to purify ourselves from all false doctrine, from all wrong practices, and help us to truly be a fit representative of thee. And we thank you so much for calling us to be your living witnesses in this dark world. Please grant us the grace and the strength to continue to follow the truth and to come up that much higher. Continue, Father, to speed and spread thy truth around the world, to fill this dark world with thy glory, until the entire earth is ablaze with the knowledge of salvation. And thank you, Father, for making possible our salvation. Thank you, Savior, for being born into humanity and carrying out the plan of our salvation. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for making the plan of salvation possible for us to partake of by working within us. I pray that you'll be with each one of us now, and bring us back together again soon, especially as the Sabbath is just in a couple days. Thank you for loving us, and we love you too, dear Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So thank you, dear ones, and good evening to each one. And don't forget, this is the last church meeting that we will have in this particular version of iVocalize. Beginning tomorrow, actually right after this meeting, I'm going to be updating our website. And so if you go to our page called Joining the Home Church Room, Joining Us, you will see that there is a description of what you need to do in order to continue fellowshipping with us in this updated version that is beginning tomorrow, actually. So I'm going to make myself available tomorrow from noon till 6, that specific time, so that'll be 3 to 9 in the East Coast time. And any of you that are having problems or would like some help in learning how to upgrade, please feel free to call me, and I will have this particular room open to where you'd be able to come in and ask questions, and I can help guide you through the steps. Or you can text me on my phone, and I'll call you back and be able to talk directly with you that way. But I've got the various steps that you need to follow on our website that I'm going to be updating just after this meeting ends. And I think all of you will be able to follow those steps and be able to get right into the new room starting Friday. So, dear ones, may God bless and continue to lead and guide you, and may his face shine upon you and give you peace, is my prayer until we meet again. God bless.